Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Morning, Faith Radio Mornings here on Faith Radio. I'm Paul Perreault, sitting in for Peter Kapsner, who will be back on Monday, and I think we'll all be happy about that. I'm trying to fill in. You know, I'm kind of like a third string or fourth string helping out this morning on Faith Radio Mornings, and talking a little bit this morning about state fairs, because the North Dakota State Fair gets underway. It's kind of getting into that season. The Wisconsin State Fair is, I think, next, and there's the Iowa State Fair, and of course Minnesota State Fair, which we're big fans of. The fair food, you name it. Of course, that's the stuff. You're talking about something you also will do every year, but get you the cookie dough,
deep fried cookie dough on a stick.
Everything's on a stick at a fair.
Everything's on a stick. It has to be. But I physically ingest it and I feel sick as it goes down. Don't get me wrong. It's the happiest feeling of sugar that there has ever been.
Oh man!
But I can feel the years of my life falling off as I eat that.
Well, since I'm a little older than you, I don't need too many more years falling off. Oh, anyway. Well, you know, yesterday, Dick talked with Karen Swallow Pryor. She did a great article about 9 ways to make social media more Christian, kind of giving the Emily Post rules of etiquette. And part of what she talked about is using social media as a way of ministry, of just helping people, encouraging them. Among the rules, she says, talk to people, not about them. And I was thinking about somebody I know who's a blogger, who's on social media, who uses social media well to encourage others. And I'm going to follow rule number 4 that Karen had about talk to the person, not about them. So we're going to bring on Nicole J. Phillips just a bit. Nicole Phillips, I got to know her when she and I were both living in Fargo. Her husband was the head coach of NDSU, their basketball team, until his team did too well in the NCAA tourneys and he got hired by another team. But anyway, great lady, and we're going to talk about her kindness blog and about her ministry. And actually, if you want to talk to her, or maybe you want to message her, you can either text or call us at 877-933-2484 as we continue shortly here on Faith Radio Mornings. Faith Radio Mornings. Good morning. I'm Paul Perreault. 8 minutes after the hour, joining me right now is Nicole Phillips she has a website, NicoleJPhillips.com. She does what is called the Kindness Blog, and actually a very kind person, too. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
You are very welcome, and thanks for taking some time away. I didn't realize I was getting you when you're on your vacation.
Well, you know, it's probably the perfect time because I'm relaxed enough to sit still and, you know, especially in the morning. You catch us later, we might be at a water park. You never know. But
well,
right now, all is calm.
That's good. And you're visiting family, right? Up in Wisconsin.
Yes. Yeah. My husband's parents live in the Milwaukee area, and I just went down to the Appleton area to visit my dad. So it's been a really, really wonderful time.
Well, okay. I want to get to your backstory here about your growing up and how that led to the Kindness Blog. I was reading more on your website this morning and just kind of going, wow. Kindness, you know, in social media right now, there's not a lot of kindness. It's being used to scream at each other or pass each other more often than not. And yet there are those out there who use social media very well to offer encouragement, offer hope, offer help. And I think you are one of those key people doing it right now. Now, tell us about your backstory. I mean, the Kindness Blog, your life, your growing up wasn't, shall we say, kind.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because my mother is one of the kindest people I know. But when I was in third grade, she went back to school. Back to work. And she got a job teaching at a men's prison. And so here I am in third grade, and my mom falls in love with a prison inmate. And so by the time I'm in fourth grade, age 10, I was standing up in the prison chapel at my mom's wedding to this inmate. And, you know, kind of things just really kind of came unraveled after that, because my home life before that was very normal, you know, a father and a mother and an older brother and an older sister. But all of a sudden we had this great division, and that led to, I think, some really bad decisions as an adult for me. So, you know, 7 years ago, I found myself on the edge of what anyone would call an alcoholic. I was a drinker, a smoker, an overeater. I was on antidepressants. I was angry at my husband all the time. And really, I think that it stemmed from the fact that I was just kind of terrified that I was going to end up, you know, combusting my family as my mom had. And the interesting thing about my mom is that she went back and got her master's degree in her 50s. She went back and ran her first full marathon on her 60th birthday. She lives in Vero Beach, Florida now, and is just absolutely devoted to Jesus and feels terrible about the things she has done, but is so kind in loving people who are different from her, because she understands that people make bad decisions and people end up broken, and those are the ones who need the kindness the most.
So what was the big turning point for you? I mean, there was that. What happened to you from that point?
Right. So if we jog back about 7 years at this point where I was very miserable and on the edge of making even worse decisions, I'd say, I took my kids to the pool, the public pool in Fargo. And it was a hot day. You know, Paul, Fargo doesn't get a whole lot of super hot days in the summer.
But when they come, they are beastly.
They're beastly, and everybody goes to the public pool. So yeah. It was packed. And we found the one open lounge chair next to a girl with long blonde hair. She was about 17 years old, and she was wearing a shiny gold bikini. And, you know, I thought, wow, this person is way different than me. But, you know, here we're going to sit next to each other a few inches from each other for the day. Well, I noticed that my 1.5-year-old son started sharing Cheerios with the 1.5-year-old little girl that she was there watching. Mm. And it was adorable. They were, you know, sharing back and forth. And then the gold bikini girl is doing sign language to the little girl, like thank you and more and please. And I thought, this is the world's best babysitter. I have got to get her number so she can watch my kids. And as I was thinking this, my son looks across the pool and he sees a woman with brown hair and who looked sort of like me. And he started pointing and he started yelling, mommy, 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 as in that's my mommy. And I said, no, I'm your mommy. I'm your mommy. And Gold Bikini Girl starts to giggle, and she said, that happened just the other day. She said, little Gigi was looking out the window of our apartment, and she saw a woman with blonde hair getting into a car, and she started to yell, mommy, mommy, mommy. And my heart sank, because I was like, this is not the world's best babysitter. This is the mom, and she's doing it better than I am, and she's enjoying it. And we left the pool that day, and something in my heart for the first time in my life said, you know, stop, go give her some money. And I had never heard that voice before.
Okay.
And I certainly wasn't sure I trusted that voice, but I did it. And I grabbed a couple of 20s from my wallet and I walked over to her and I said, I just want you to know you really inspired me today. You and your daughter are going to be powerful changes for good in this community just because of the way that you love. And I handed her the money and she started to cry. And, you know, Paul, she got into her car with enough money to fill up the gas tank a few times, maybe go to McDonald's. But I got back into my car with a high unlike anything I had ever felt from any bad decision I had made before. I felt like I owned the world. Mm. And I thought if everyone knew what this felt like, everyone would want to try it and kindness would be contagious.
Cool. We're talking with Nicole Phillips of NicoleJPhillips.com, the kindness blog, and we're going to get into this a little bit. I'm going to break a little early here because I think this is a natural spot, but I want to talk about why you transitioned into doing this blogging here that really is very, I find it very encouraging. As I mentioned to you before, when we're preparing for this, I like to use social media. Yes, I follow the news, but I also use it to find people who are just good encouragers, because life is busy, life is crazy, I need that, and you're one of the people I follow. We'll talk about that blog here in just a bit on Faith Radio Mornings, 15 after the hour. Stay with us. Flashback Friday here. For us who listen to contemporary Christian music way back, that's a One-on-One by Steve Camp. Anyway, Hi, Paul Perreault. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Good morning. 17 minutes after the hour. And talking with Nicole Phillips about her kindness blog. And getting back to Nicole, we had on Karen Swallow Pryor yesterday talking about these rules that she put together for social media. And she says one of them is be known for what you are for, not what or who you are against. And I know you're for encouraging people. So, again, great to have you with us this morning.
That's a great tip. Be known for what you're for, not what you're against. Oh, I love that.
I should probably send you the link for the article. I think you'll enjoy that. Karen Swallow Pryor is a great writer, too. Now, we were talking about how you came to the point where you're looking at kindness as something you want to be the one sharing. And you started the Forum newspaper up in Fargo gave you a great opportunity. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the publisher of the Forum actually called me and he said, we're starting a new section for women and we're looking for female writers. Would you, because you used to be a TV anchor, would you come and write about politics? And I said, no way.
That's not encouraging.
And, No. And I wasn't even thinking about being encouraging at the time because it was before the kindness ministry. I just kind of was, you know, in the mundane of life. But I knew I didn't want to do that. And he said, how about cooking? And I said, I've made lasagna twice and both times forgot to put in the lasagna noodles. So no. And so he threw his hands in the air and he said, when you figure out what you want to write about, you call me. Well, then I had this great interaction with this girl in the shiny gold bikini. And I knew the power in that moment of kindness. And I thought if everyone tried this, everyone would want to keep doing it and kindness would be contagious. So I wrote up that story, the gold bikini girl, and I sent it to the publisher and I said, this is what I want to write about. I want to write about kindness. I want people to send me their stories about the kind things they've done and when kindness showed up for them at just the right moment. Because when we talk about it in that sort of a sphere, it's not bragging. We're not saying what we've done in order to get attention and, you know, to steal our riches from heaven. We are sharing that because we want to encourage others that, you know what, stepping out of your comfort zone isn't as hard as you think it is. And the way that it can change another person's day and your own day is miraculous.
And I've been noticing in some of your blogs, especially recently, I think you're going, this is just me, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm seeing you're going beyond to just, you know, kindness is a good thing to do, but you're also seeing there's some providential things God doing to give you that opportunity to be that voice of hope, that voice of kindness for somebody.
Yeah, and actually what you're seeing is both, I have a column for the Forum that runs also in newspapers in North Dakota, Minnesota, and it's called Kindness is Contagious. And that one's really kindness-based for the general public. And then, and that runs on Fridays. On Mondays, I write a personal blog. And that sometimes has to do with kindness, but I always try to use it to encourage and just remind people that, you know, God loves you so much, regardless of the way you look at yourself when you look in the mirror. If you leave this day, go and lay your head down at night and know that God thinks you are precious, then that makes it a good day. And so that's what I try to do on Mondays, is to share more of my faith with that.
That is cool. And actually, you had a couple of good ones recently. One talking about how God chooses us as is. And I think we struggle with that one a lot. You know, we think we need to have ourselves properly in place to go before God. And you're saying, no, that's not the case. Explain.
Well, and I stole that idea from Max Lucado's devotional called
Borrowed.
I borrowed it. And I'm sure he would say, that's great. I'm thrilled you borrowed it, actually, if he knew. But it's called Grace for the Moment. And he said one line that really pinged with me. And he said, on our collars, when God looks at us, it says, as is. And God's okay with that. And I thought, you know what? If I had a tag on me, you know, would God go and look for me at a fancy boutique? And would I have to get all shined up before he said, yep, that's the one I want? And the answer to that is no. You know, God doesn't even go to the thrift store to look for me. He looks in the garbage bin behind the thrift store for me. And that's how he wants us. People think, oh, you know, someday I'll really follow God. I'll be a good Christian when I quit drinking, when I stop gossiping, when I, you know, have more energy to give more of my, you know, to tithe or whatever it is. And God says, no, 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 no. Let's start today. just you and me having a relationship because I love you.
That's cool. Nicole Phillips is our guest this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. And we were talking yesterday before this interview. And, you know, when we talk about how you're using social media, how you're using these your website, your presence to offer encouragement, you mentioned something to me that I thought, you know, this is really good to talk about. And that has to do with the power of the being positive on the Internet. Tell us about that.
Well, it's really cool when God's word is backed up by scientific evidence. And now in the recent years, kindness researchers have been able to do that. And they have seen that new pathways are created in the brain when we choose kindness on a daily basis. We actually literally create pathways that instead of going toward anger and pessimism, go toward seeing the silver lining first. And that happens through the spread of chemicals in our body. So when we do an act of kindness, we receive an act of kindness, or we witness an act of kindness, 4 feel-good chemicals are released into our bodies. And that's endorphin, serotonin, which is endorphins are it's the fight or flight kind of get rid of the pain sort of chemical. Serotonin is our body's natural antidepressant. There's dopamine, which helps with blood pressure even, and or the cuddle hormone, and then oxytocin as well, which helps with our blood pressure rather. So those feel good chemicals are released into our body, as I said, as a giver, receiver, or a witness. So when we retell a story about an act of kindness, we are actually even getting those chemicals released. When we're at a grocery store and we are the person who sees the person pay for the groceries behind us or the clerk who's checking out those people, we get that rush of chemicals. So on social media, that translates because when we are reading about acts of kindness or just people being good and inspiring, that releases those chemicals because we are then the witness of what's happening on social media, and it's as a good thing.
And, you know, you think about the reverse side of that if you're constantly around the negative stuff, especially on social media. The research didn't talk about that, but you just kind of wonder, don't you?
The research doesn't have to talk about it because we can feel it. If you spend 10 minutes on social media only looking at things or watching the news, or, you know, if you're only following politics online, you will walk away 10 minutes later feeling old and weak and, you know, certainly not energized for the day ahead.
Good point. This went quick, Nicole. Thanks for joining us this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. And again, if you want to catch up with Nicole and get especially the stuff she's talking about on Mondays, go to NicoleJPhillips.com. Hey, you have a great day, and I hope you and Saul and the kids have a great vacation.
Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate your time.
I can hear them calling hogs in the clear Iowa air.
Yes, from the movie State Fair, Rodgers and Hammerstein. You know that movie, right?
Oh, of course. I was around at that time.
Well, not you're around. You're into theater, so you kind of, anyway. You know, state fairs are getting underway. North Dakota State Fair starting today up in Minot. Of course, that makes me think of the Minnesota State Fair, the Iowa State Fair. And, you know, one thing, and I've been to both. Now, I prefer my Minnesota State Fair, partially because I'm Minnesotan, but in my 2 years in Iowa, I got a chance to visit the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines, and they actually do something that blows us away easily in Minnesota.
Tell me what that is, Paul.
They're butter cow.
Butter cow.
Every year they have a carving of a butter cow.
Can I ride this butter cow?
That would be kind of sticky and slimy. But this year they're going to do not only the butter cow. Oh, they're going to outdo themselves this year in Iowa. A butter tractor.
Oh, my.
A John Deere tractor, because it is the 100th anniversary of John Deere.
Can I ride that butter sculpture?
No. Coming up in a bit here on Faith Radio Mornings, we'll be talking with Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family about a blog that happened, or actually a web posting, and that went viral, and for probably bad reasons, but that's coming up shortly here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Of Iowa grain. You're a
24 before the hour. Good morning. Paul Perreault in for Peter Kapsner, Faith Radio Mornings. Author, pastor, former NFL great Derwin Gray, explains how once we receive our new identity in Christ, we are called to share his love with the world.
In essence, what we've done, particularly in America, we're very individualistic. So it's Jesus died for me, Jesus loves me, Jesus did this for me. And in essence, we turn Jesus into like a Santa Claus instead of the ruling God and King. So the gospel is Israel's King and Messiah defeated sin, death, and evil. And now by grace, he sweeps us up into his story. And then he sends us on mission to join him in bringing light into a dark and broken world.
You can find that and other great resources. Maybe you want to hear that article again. That's on our website at myfaithradio.com. Search for Derwin Gray or God-Given Identity. Well, when we come back, Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Several years ago, I worked with a young man who rarely received grace at home. As a result, he was resentful all the time and spewed anger on everyone around him. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. This teenager once erupted in anger and took it out with a baseball bat on my car. Instead of having him arrested for vandalism, I sat him down and told him that he was forgiven, and we were going to work things out differently from then on. He was still responsible for his actions, of course, and would have to pay for damages, do extra yard work, lose privileges, and apologize to everyone involved. But once he realized he was forgiven, that we loved him despite his behavior, tears came to his eyes. Grace began working its redemptive power in his life.
Mark Gregston is devoted to helping parents of struggling teens. Find his small group curricula online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Good morning, Faith Radio Mornings on Faith Radio. I'm Paul Perreault, sitting in for Peter Kapsner. And, you know, we're talking with Nicole Phillips a little while ago, how she uses, I think, the internet and social media wisely to offer encouragement. Some people try to do that, and, well, it doesn't quite work out that way. We're on the line right now is Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family, one of the many marriage and family experts from Focus on the Family. Go fig, that kind of works, doesn't it, Aaron? Focus on the Family, you talk about family issues, right?
That is correct.
So, hey, thanks for getting up so early for us because you're mountain time, but I appreciate you coming on. And what we're talking about, what I was talking about as far as, you know, something that didn't quite fly very well, there was a post that went viral in the last few days, and it in a very bad way. Kind of give us the background about this.
Yeah, this gal wrote a book, an article on her site called The Transform Wife. And really what she did, she laid out her beliefs and her interpretations of what a woman's role is and what she should and should not be doing, specifically that men prefer debt-free virgins without tattoos. So that was an interesting title to the article. And apparently, she has received quite the backlash. I read yesterday that she had 90,000 comments, and many of them not pretty at all, on her site and as a response to her blog post.
Now, do you know the background of this person? I'm trying to remember her name. It's Lori Alexander. You know her background?
I do know that she is I believe she said she's in her 60s, and she believes she is teaching younger women basically how to be wives.
So this is the intention behind it. But, okay, let's parse what she said. And when she talked about men preferring debt-free virgins without tattoos, I mean, how did that – when you first read that, how did that hit you?
You know, the title is intriguing to me. I was like, I wonder where she got this from. So I read the article, and then as I read, it definitely hit me in a very wrong way because a lot of it, I really do believe she had good intentions, but it comes across very legalistic and defining as far as what a woman should and should not do, including that young women should not be attending college because they're learning the ways of the world instead of studying how to be a good wife.
That kind of hit me. That was one of many things that hit me. Actually, Logan, our producer, was looking at the article this morning. He hadn't seen it before. And let's put it this way. Logan, you are fit to be tied.
I could not disagree with much of this article more. I mean, when I look at this, especially in the culture we have of young people and women wanting to be empowered and everything, it's totally fine if you want to. Your good life goal is to be a great wife for your husband and a great follower of God. But I disagree that going to college would take that away from you.
I'm smiling because I couldn't agree with you more.
Okay, 877-933-2484. You can call that number or text if you had a question or comment for Aaron Smalley this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. Now, going through that article, and again, it went viral, so let's look at different points here. What are some of your areas, your personal areas of disagreement, Aaron?
You know, well, especially back to this college one, just her whole definition of what a woman is and what she is not, that if you are, you know, going to college, that you're learning the ways of the world versus how to make large meals or how to care for your family. And I know there was a follow-up article that she talked about, if you are working outside of the home, you are not raising your children in a proper way. And, you know, there's so much more to a woman. And I look at the example the Proverbs 31 woman gives us within Scripture. And, of course, that is a representation or, you know, just an example of all that this woman is accomplishing and what we can accomplish as women, maybe not in a short amount of time, but in a lifetime. But really, you know, Scripture describes women as very gregarious and very accomplishing. And therefore, this one woman's in this article, her attitude about what a woman should and should not be doing, just to me doesn't line up with Scripture and what we're called to do as far as a purpose in the world and our impact in this world.
Again, 877-933-2484. You can call or text if you would like to comment on that. Maybe you've read the article yourself and you had some thoughts you want to share. We'd love to hear those as well. Did you see the follow-up she did where she tried to adjust the name of the article?
Yes, I did. I did not notice the name change, though. What did she change it to?
She added, godly men.
Oh, that's right.
would prefer. Your thoughts
well,
on that?
You know, good for them. You know, I guess I go, you know, if that's what you're looking for and that's what you're going to define your future covenant marriage on, you know, that's one way to do it. I think, you know, I just think the first thing that comes to mind is God looks at the heart. And why would we base our marriage, our lifelong covenant on tattoos? Or the state of our debt. Sure, there's wisdom in, you know, if your future spouse has a lot of debt, well, gosh, we probably should talk about that and look at how do we as a team begin to look at how are we going to conquer this? And, you know, but I just really have a difficult time thinking that people are out there basing or godly men are out there basing their future relationship on whether or not there's debt or sin from the past or tattoos.
Okay. Well, we are talking with Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family on Faith Radio Mornings. When we come back, we'll discuss this some more. And actually, I think I'd like to see if we can talk about, you know, when I saw this, I saw a decidedly theological issue when it comes to Christ and his pursuit of the church, his bride. And I think I don't know if you're willing to delve there, Aaron, but I want to go there. So we'll
sure.
See if we can go there in just a bit here on Faith Radio Morning. Stay with us. Good morning, Faith Radio Mornings on Faith Radio. I'm Paul in for Peter, and joining us online right now, Aaron Smalley, along with her husband, Greg. They do a lot of great work with Focus on the Family as marriage and family experts. And maybe you have a question on marriage and family. You're welcome to either text that question or call us. The number's the same, 877-933-2484. We've been talking about an article that got a lot of buzz on social media this week called Men Prefer Debt-Free virgins without tattoos. And a well-intentioned article, I think, but it fell flat, as Aaron, we were talking. Now, Aaron, Logan had a question for you that he wanted to pose.
I loved what you touched on right before we left, which is the idea that the tattoos or the virgin or the college decision are what are most important about a woman. That's really the idea I get, because she says in her article, quote, "Men don't want to marry a woman in debt." But when I'm looking for a wife, or I'm looking for someone to spend and share my relationship with, I'm not caring about this so much. I'm caring about the heart of the woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. I care about her relationship with God. There are so many deeper things, whereas this article is telling me I should really only care about some small decisions that have made her less appealing, so to say.
Yeah, and it really is so opposed to who we know God to be, that, you know, if you fell into debt because of some poor decisions or some love of some worldly whatever, you know, and she's actually saying that most of our debt comes from college education, you know, so it doesn't sound like she was even referring to worldly debt, whatever. You know, okay, so if your heart has changed and you're turning towards God and you're pursuing God, then exactly what you're saying, Logan, why would that be a criterion for who you marry? I don't get the thinking in there. A lot of what she's saying is so works-based and feels so legalistic that it makes my skin crawl.
That's what Logan and I were talking about during the break. It's like, if this is the viewpoint, it's performance-based. You're not being loved for yourself. There's not that commitment. It's based, you do this, this, and this, and then I'll love you, instead of the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think of all my sweet little premarital couples that I work with within private practice, and if this is what they were basing their future marriage on, it sure would grieve my heart and definitely make me so sad that is what they're looking at. It's about who we are and who are we in Christ, and what does he say is true about us. I mean, he pursues us ruthlessly. He chases after us all the days of our lives. He tells us he washes us pure as snow when we come before him and confess our sin. So it's, and I don't know that there's so many different views on everything she's saying, but yet I don't know that what she's defining as sin is truly sin. I mean, that's something that you have to dig into scripture and really delve in and decide between you and the Lord, is getting a tattoo a sin? I don't know.
Well, I was trying to get at, you know, when before the break, you know, there's something deeply theological here in my mind, because you look at Christ and he pursued the church, his bride, not because it was perfect, not because it was beautiful, but because he loved. And in marriage, there needs to be that commitment that he had, like he did, not based upon if you do this, this, and this. It's a grace thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, that if you're walking into a marriage with these kind of standards based on behavior, what happens when you're walking through marriage and you're going to have the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the rapids, the difficulties, the joyful, wonderful times? What happens when you walk through those difficulties together? You know, we're promised that through trials, there's going to be benefits. There's going to be growth. There's going to be gifts that we receive. So what is it during marriage? You know, how are we called to walk with each other and support and love and grow together through all the challenges, all the good times? So it really is confusing and sends a very difficult message in this article to the world about who we are within Christian marriage.
A person commented here, called in just a little while ago. Did you see any positive from the article?
You know, I did see the last paragraph in the article. What I appreciated, because I say this to millennials frequently, that as you are desiring marriage down the road, make decisions today that will set you up for a healthy marriage. And so, you know, keeping a long-term vision of your life is what she said. And I agree with that, absolutely, that we make decisions today that, you know, will positively impact our future marriage. And, you know, so I think often millennials say they want to get married and they want to pursue marriage. But I think sometimes there's a lapse between, oh, the things I do today, and I don't know that it's conscious, you know, the things we do today will impact and can have an impact on our future relationship. So, you know, make decisions that are pro-marriage today. It says, you know, marriage should be honored by all. And so why not honor your marriage, your future marriage today, and honor other marriages by being a person who is making pro-marriage choices?
Somebody just put an honest question to me, and I think it goes to all of us. This was texted in. Is the reaction to the article legalism itself an overreaction?
Yeah, you know, you have to, I do have to step back and go, what is the overreaction to this article? But I also think that what it stirs up in me is the misrepresentation. I know her intentions were good, and that's, there's another gal that got on and did a preface of her article and basically saying, this article may not be for you. If you're not a godly man or a godly woman and you're pursuing biblical truth, this isn't for you. But I think even those of us that are, you know, I just disagree with the box that she's placing women in as far as what their true role is in this world. And yes, I absolutely 100% agree. We have such a great opportunity in ministry to raise godly children, but is my future marriage solely about raising children, or is my marriage the basis, the stability that we can raise godly children under? And so I just think that there's things that were said within the article that we need to be very careful about as far as putting that out there, representing that this is what a Christ-based marriage is centered on.
Okay. Aaron Smalley has been our guest this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. And hey, Aaron, if people want to follow you, I'm sure you're on social media too. You're on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, definitely. Anything to Focus on the Family, you can put my name in there and you'll find me within focusonthefamily.com. And we'd love to connect with you.
All right. Aaron, thanks for joining us this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. Thanks again for tuning us for Faith Radio Mornings on this Friday. Peter will be back on Monday. I'm Paul Perreault. Thank you. You know, we talked at the start of the show about kind of a rough situation yesterday down in Iowa and Missouri with some severe weather. I mean, Iowa got hit pretty hard with several tornadoes hitting Marshalltown and Pella and other areas. And then, of course, down in Missouri, down in the Branson area, which is resort territory, beautiful area. There was these amphibious duck boats, and unfortunately, one was hit by a severe storm and capsized, and some lives lost. So definitely be in prayer for them throughout the rest of the day today. You know, I'm kind of at a befuddle. I don't know what to talk about. We're talking State Fair a lot, you know, today because the North Dakota State Fair getting underway, and that leads to all the other state fairs that come up. And you were talking about the cookie dough. Okay. You guys, like you said, you and your family are just State Fair-aholics, right?
Yes.
You get there, crack of dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when the gates open, you're there until they kick you out, basically.
That's true. The security guards come by in their golf carts and say you have to leave.
Yeah, that bad.
No, it's a family tradition. The State Fair, I think, for a lot of families, is a great way to go out, set a blanket out, even just sit on the grass beside all of the incredible things that are happening and just experience a time together with a family. I think that's something that's so easily lost on so many different groups of families, and it's something that's kept ours together over the years.
So it's just that family tradition you have that's that bonding thing at the end of summer. So, hey, again, thanks for tuning in to Faith Radio Mornings. Again, Peter will be back on Monday, and as he always reminds us, remember, the tomb is empty.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.